this morning we're going to talk about the need for small groups once again, only this time we're going to be coming from a different piece of Scripture, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at that in just a few moments. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, I came across something very interesting today. As I've been studying about this idea of community and about groups and loving each other and getting together and spending time with each other, I've come across a lot of information that really kind of surprised me. And one of them I came across is a website. It's called, let me see, what's the name of that if I can read it here? Social Yup. Anybody heard of Social Yup? It's a website where you can buy Facebook likes for your page. This is a screenshot. You can buy Facebook. Need Facebook fans or likes or Facebook friends? We can get thousands of Facebook fans or Facebook friends within a week. So you can appear to the world like you got all kinds of fans. And it's only $30 for how many? 500 Facebook fans within 4 to 6 days. If you want 1,000 fans, you just got to lay out $48. 3,000 fans are $139. You can get 20,000 Facebook fans for $699. Oh my goodness, won't that just make your life so much better? Really, it kind of illustrates this, I don't know what to call it, rather than friend desperation that we have in our culture today. We want to be loved, we want to be liked, but something inside of us just wants to take the easy way out. They want to, you know, we want to buy our friends. We want to make it easy. We don't want to have to get to know anybody in order to gain friendship. We want to be able just to kind of snap our fingers. Well, I think that even in this room here today, there are people that crave intimacy. There are people that crave closeness. They want friends, but they just don't. They either don't know how to go about the process of doing that, or frankly, they just don't want to make the effort to do that. Making friends, being friendly, building relationships is hard work. It takes an effort on our part. It takes self-sacrifice. It takes all those things that we really don't want to do, that we're not acculturated to do in our life. And yet that's the very basis that the Church of Jesus Christ was built upon. We've been talking about Acts chapter 2, starting in verses 42 through 47. But it tells us that at the very beginning of the church, when the church first started, it was based on relationships. It was literally based on small group relationships. It says in chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The Bible says that there's some very specific things that this early group of believers did to grow and to become strong. They committed themselves to God. And we talked about last week that that was exemplified by their commitment to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. They emphasize teaching and they emphasize prayer. Those are two things that we're going to emphasize in our small groups. We're going to learn together. It's not going to be a great big huge preaching session where the leader gets up and preaches to you. We're going to learn together. It's going to be a discussion group. It's going to be sharing with each other about what God is doing in your life and learning from each other. Some of you will have a curriculum that you'll be using, a book that you're reading, something that's challenging to you. Some of you will go over the sermon from Sunday and just kind of apply that to your life. Some of you will do something else, but there'll be teaching that goes on. And then there'll be prayer each week. Prayer is powerful. Prayer together is powerful. You know, I love our times of prayer that we pray together here. Heather did a great job leading us in prayer, and our other pastors do that every Sunday. But there's something about getting together with just a few of you, 8, 10, 12 people, and praying for each other that draws you together. When you pray together, you stay together. There's something that's like glue in our relationships by spending prayer with each other. And then we saw that they were committed to each other, committed to God and committed to each other. You know, Jesus understood that principle and taught that principle when the rich young ruler came to him and said, "What must I do to enter the kingdom of God?" And he said, there's two things. You have to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. That's loving God. But Jesus said that equally you have to do this is to love your neighbor as yourself. We need God and we need each other to grow spiritually. You can't grow alone. And so they met in their homes. They shared meals together. They celebrated the Lord's Supper together. That's something that you're going to be able to do in your small group is celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Not every time that you get together, but whenever you want to, whenever you feel like it, you can have a Lord's Supper together. You don't have to be in the church and I don't have to lead it for the Lord's Supper to be celebrated. This is our commitment to each other that we're going to have. And what that is, when those two things come together, when you are committed to God and you're committed to each other, that is called community. Community is very simply when we gather together to the Lord. Now, the dictionary definition of community is very simple. It says a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. And that is what we're going to be doing. We're going to share the same interests, attitudes, and goals. You're going to get together with people of like mind that you can have fellowship with. Now, we're not all going to be the same. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. We don't lose our distinctiveness when we come into community together. We don't all become like each other, but we become with each other. And so community is that similarity, that identity. We've been talking for the past few weeks about why you need community. But I want to kind of approach this morning's lesson from the opposite side. I think everybody knows that you need community. Maybe you're not willing to admit it, or maybe you don't feel like you do, but you know deep inside that you need each other. But I want to talk about why we need you, why your group needs you. Your group needs you and your gifts and your abilities and the things that God has given to you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a piece of scripture that illustrates that by using the body as an illustration. And it's often called the one body, many parts piece of scripture. It talks to us about how God wants us to function as the body of Christ. And it starts out by telling us that when we come together as the body of Christ in our big group, in our church service, and in our small groups, in our littler groups that we gather together in, that we don't lose our distinctiveness. We stay the way we are. We keep our personalities. We keep our character and who we are. But it says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Now, who is the body of Christ? We are. Every one of us here today, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if He's your Lord and your Savior, if He's the center of your life, you're part of the body of Christ. It says some are Jews, some are Gentiles. There's no racial differences in the body of Christ. There shouldn't be racial differences in the body of Christ. And some are slaves, some are free. There's no economic barriers in the body of Christ. At least there shouldn't be. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Small groups need you. There is no one else like you. Now, some of you might say amen and wipe the sweat off your brow when you say that. But there is nobody else in this world that's you. You are unique. You are different in a good way. Just wanted to make that clear. You're different in a good way. God created you that way. I remember Ruth Graham one time was asked by a reporter, do you and Billy ever disagree on anything? And she said, oh, heavens, yes. If we agreed on everything, one of us wouldn't be necessary. And that's the truth, isn't it? We don't all agree on the same thing at the same time, but we can all live together in harmony and in peace and learn from each other. You are necessary to the body of Christ. And folks, if you don't get anything else out of this morning's message, I want you to get this. You have a gift and an ability that only you can bring to the group that you choose to be part of. And it's needed. It's necessary. Some of you have giftings in teaching and proclaiming the word. Others of you get sweaty thinking about it. You know, you can't stand the thought of being in front of a group of people saying anything or sitting in front of a group of people saying anything. But some of you like to be hospitality. You like to open up your homes. You like to prepare meals for groups. You like to, you know, you just love doing that. You really get jazzed when you think of hosting people in your home. We need that. Some of you like to play with kids. You know, they like to be with kids. We need that. You think of whatever it is that you like to do, and we need that in the body of Christ. You are necessary to these small groups. They can't make it without you. Now, you know, we often say, well, if you don't show up and bring your gifts, God will raise somebody else up and bring those gifts. But you know what? Why not just be part of it? Why not just bring your giftings to it? If you don't know what your gift is, you need to be in a small group because they'll help you find it. They can tell what your gifts are. After getting together probably just a few times, they can probably tell you what your gifts are and what you can do. So we don't lose our distinctiveness when we get into these groups. We maintain our distinctiveness. We're not asking you to change anything about yourself. If there's stuff that needs to be changed, we're going to let the Holy Spirit do that. He does it pretty good anyway. When I try to change people, they get mad at me. I don't know why, but they do. But when the Holy Spirit tries to change people, He does it just right. And in the second thing that we need you for small parts is because you're placed there by God. It is a mission in your life. It says in verse 15, if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but one body. Not only are you unique and uniquely qualified for your giftings in the kingdom of God, but you have been placed where you are to use your gifts in the most effective way possible. You're here this morning at North Point because God knows that you have gifts that He has gifted this body with, and you're here to gift this body with those giftings. No one here should be wasted. No one here should be sitting on their talent. No one here should be sitting and watching things go on. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a gift to give in the body of Christ. And then there's a place for protection and covering. And I want to kind of feather this out a little bit, but look at what it says in verse 21. It says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. There's no one in this body that is unnecessary to this church. No one. You are here for a giftings of God that God has placed in you, and you are here to use them. Don't let anybody look down on your giftings and your abilities. You might say, well, all I do is serve in the nursery once every month or something like that. Can you imagine what it would be like if nobody wanted to serve in the nursery? Can you imagine what chaos there would be here if no one wanted to serve in the nursery? Can you imagine what visitors would think if we had big yellow tape across the nursery door because nobody wanted to serve in the nursery? Or people thought it's just not that big a deal. Let me tell you something. You ask any parent who brings in their vulnerable young child and places them in your hands if your role isn't important. It's definitely important. They're trusting you with their very child, and that's an important role. Man, you know, those gifts that are here by God's granting. It says in verse 22, in fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care, so we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Listen carefully to what I have to say. Our small groups should be a place, first and foremost, where everyone is welcome. Do you know there is a hidden world? Some of you do know this because you experience it yourself. But did you know that there is a hidden world in our community of those who are less able than the rest of us are? There are people that struggle with mental issues. People that struggle with issues that manifest themselves in very strange behavior. Those are the weaker parts of our body. Those are the ones that need our protection. Those are the ones that need our support. It's very difficult to deal with them sometimes because they just don't fit our mold of what's right and what's wrong and all of that kind of thing. But are they part of the body of Christ? The answer is absolutely. There are people who are disabled, who cannot get here or feel like they wouldn't fit in this place because of their disabilities. But maybe a small group is a place where they're going to feel accepted and loved and listened to. Maybe for the first time in their life, those are the weak members of our body. And all of them have a ministry and a mission to give to us. I would love to see our small groups take on these folks and make them feel welcome and just invite them into our groups. They need that covering. They need that place. Maybe even somebody that has been so burned in the past by relationships that they don't dare take that step, and they need to be loved and kind of pulled into the group again because of some fears and some problems that they've had in their lives. There's a lot of hurt people in this world where the only place they may really feel safe is in a group where there's maybe 6, 8, 10 other people that they know and they love and they appreciate. You need to be there for them to help them walk through. Our small group ministry is going to reach into places that our church could never go. Our church service could never go. And you need to be a part of that. You need to give your gifts to that. You need to have that. We even, I foresee the day when we have a small group made up of people with similar challenges, similar mental issues and emotional issues that are led and loved by people who can minister to them and put them into that place where Jesus' love can be made manifest to them. Maybe they can't come into the big group for whatever reason, but they can come into the small group. And that ministry is just as important as the altar time here in this group and the pouring out of the Spirit that we have when we worship. They are needed and they're loved in the kingdom of God. I really think that this could be a special time of ministry to people who go through the highs and the lows of life. We need you. You need us. This is the pattern for small group ministry that has been through the church ages. Now, what I want you to do this morning is to take that card that's in your bulletin. Everybody grab a card, and Eric's got some extra cards if you need them. And if you need a card, just raise your hand. Eric will bring you one, and we'll make sure that every family gets a card. But before you fill that out, we're going to introduce you to the small group leaders that we have. First of all, Dave and Kim Netsley, if you would join me right across the front here. Dave is also a small group leader, and he's also going to be our small group coordinator. And so we appreciate Dave taking on that ministry. And let me see here if I can get this to work right. There we go. So Dave and Kim Netsley are going to be leading a group, and they're all going to be talking to you in just a minute. Dave Kuntz is our men's ministry small group leader. So Dave, if you would join me up here. Dave and his wife Judy is the women's small group leader. So Judy, if you would join me up here. And then Wells Penna, Wells and Leona Penna are the leaders of our teenager group, our older seniors that meet at their house. And so I want them to join me up here. And then Greg and Lorna Bush are going to be leading a group also. So Greg and Lorna, you guys come on up here. Let me see, did I miss anybody here? I think that's it, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, we're blocking you. You're not blocking me. They can see most all of my head above Dave. Now, we wanted to take a minute this morning and let each group just kind of give you a brief explanation of why they meet, what they're looking at, that kind of thing, to give you a little flavor. So we'll start with ladies down here. Judy. Judy leads our ladies Bible group. Extra points.
On Tuesdays, Tuesday morning, the ladies, we study Beth Moore. Thank you, Anna. right now we're doing a study on Daniel, but we've done other studies as well. There's a workbook that we do that has homework in it. You don't get a gold star if you do your homework. You don't get detention if you don't do your homework. It's just there to help guide our discussion. And then we watch a DVD of Beth Moore's teaching, and we're open to other teachers as well. We also pray together. We're honest with one another. My group knows that I am just really the facilitator. I'm not there because I'm really smart. I'm just there to facilitate and to guide and to, you know, have the Spirit move. I'm also open to leading an evening session of the same study. We don't have an evening session right now because not enough people signed up for it, but I know so many of our ladies work, and the evening is much better for them, so we are open to having an evening study as well. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't think so.
And I'm Dave Koontz, leading the men's group, also on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock in the evening. And you may think that time was completely random, but the intentional choice was made to follow the ladies' group so there'll be treats left over in the evening for the men to have. Okay? So we've been meeting probably for at least a couple years, I would say. The group has varied a little bit depending on who's available and so forth, but we've got about 6 guys. One of the interesting things is we do have a couple guys from outside the church too that have come in, friends of people in the church. So we get a lot of, I guess you could say, diversity in the group. Right now, we're studying a book by Francis Chan called Multiply. It's the emphasis is on discipleship. We've alternated between books of the Bible, other special topic books. The subject matter isn't the main point. The main point is the relationships in the group. And we've really grown a lot together as men, sharing challenges, praying for each other, and encouraging each other. And I think that's been the biggest area that I hear feedback from the guys that they get out of the group, is it's just an encouragement in their daily walk with the Lord. So that sounds like something that would benefit you, men. Again, 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. Thank you.
I'm Dave Netzley, and this is my wife, Kim. And we'll be leading a small group as well. We're excited about that. Randy and Stacy Gates are our assistants, and so we are working together with them, and we're looking forward. We've already had a lot of fun working together and planning this out and stuff. And we're just looking. I mean, small groups are. Pastor has said it really well. It's a framework for people to love, learn, laugh, cry, care for one another, and to be the church, and it's a neat opportunity, and so we look forward to a lot of fun and some food. The structure that we're going to have is we're going to meet on Sunday nights, and from 5 to 7. 5 o'clock we'll have a meal, we'll eat together, and then from 6 to 7 we'll have our fellowship time, and that time we'll also have. It'll just be a combination of prayer, fellowship, games, fun, teaching, all that kind of stuff. And when we say teaching, we do mean more of a discussion type thing, okay? We're going to start off with a book, Visual Aid, Exhibit B, Riches Stored in Secret Places. And it's just about God revealing his secrets. And revealing them to us and how he does it, and it's a neat focus on God. But anyway, we'll be doing that. We'll be meeting the 2nd and 4th Sundays of the month, okay, starting in February. So I think that's anything else?
Nope. Good. You
Just do what you're told, man.
We've been doing a revitalized series of books about promised land there, and it's just great. We've been working on it for I don't know how many years, but we went through the whole thing one time. Now we're starting the second time again because we missed so much the first time. We have a small group that comes in. There's about 12 people. We meet at our house on Sunday night. We don't meet during the winter months when the weather's bad because of the road conditions out here. What else? We've been going on for a long time, and it's really so interesting.
About 14 years.
14 years now. Really, we started out going to all different houses with Nestle's, Knowles, and but we ended up doing it at our house. It was, it worked out real good for our, had enough room for a lot of people, and
we just. And Leona makes good food.
What?
I make good food.
We found out that food is important. The first thing you do, Leona puts a lot of food, and she charges the people for it. What you do, about 12 people at least come in, and then we have a little get together while we're eating and talking. And then we do our lesson, and we study that out. We have a first Bible readings that comes out of the book that the Vanderlaan's got. And in order to get everybody involved, we pass out prayer cards that are in the thing. We know, okay, you got to get involved. And then we have a prayer session when we're done with that. And we pray for anybody that's got special needs. And that works out real good. And then we all go home. No, we stay home.
I said
we had a prayer session. Tonight? Amen. Amen.
How can I follow that? I'm me. This is her. The other half is Merle and Nancy. They're going to be joining us. We're going to be called the Easy Peasy Group. Just come. We're not going to use right off the bat. We're just going to do books in the Bible. Everybody's got a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. So we don't have to buy a workbook, so nobody has that expense. Just come. As Stacy and Randy said, everyone come. Everyone. Pick a group. Come. We'll grow in the knowledge of the Lord together. I mean, God's word is true. It is powerful. It is alive. And it's how we mature. It's how we grow. It's how he sanctifies us. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth, God. Your word is truth. It's how we're transformed into the likeness of our Lord. But the second half of this is we get to know each other. As Pastor said this morning, Jesus said, the most important is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. But the second is equal. Love each other. I don't know half of you. Yeah, we got a church connection. We see each other in the hall. We may pray. We may say, hey, what's happening? Hey, what's happening? But I'm not in your lives and you're not in mine. And that's what small groups does. That we get to really, truly love each other as God commands. We get to know you and your children and what's going on in your lives and what's not. And you the same thing with us, that we are the body. We are. So, small groups are excellent. They're good. Come. Sunday night, first and third, we'll have fun. We'll grow. We'll get to know. We'll love. Time. Anytime you want. We're going to be home. We're going to be home after church. Just come on down. No, we figure about 6 o'clock-ish, you know. Come. Come.
It's Greg. Do they have food? It's Greg.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, I like meat, you know? Right, so come. And we opted for snacks. So again, nobody has any obligation. We want the easy peasy group. We don't want anybody to say, well, I ain't going to there because then I'm going to be obligated to maybe cook a meal for all those yahoos. No. Come. We may do a meal later. We can do anything we want.
Well.
But. I know my limitations, okay?
Well.
But still, yes. We will definitely grow together, love on each other, have fun, grow in the Lord. That's what He wants. Get to know each other, right? Amen. Amen. Merlin, Nancy, amen.
Amen. Well, you've had enough of a difference here, haven't you? I mean, you've seen the different personalities and the different emphasis that are here. I'd like Pastor Matt to come and just play something softly in the background. What we want you to do is take out that card now, and we're going to be doing this next week also for people that aren't here today. But we want you just to, so we're going to spend a moment in prayer, and you'll notice that there is a line on there that says, I'm not sure, talk to me about it. I'm going to give those cards to Dave so that he can contact you and talk to you about it and let you know where you might fit in a little bit better. But I would like 100% participation. I think that'd be great. Give it a try. Maybe you're not sure. Just give it a try for a few meetings and see how it goes. See how it works. But I want everybody to participate that possibly can today. So let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll give you just a moment to do that. And then we'll collect up the cards. All right?